All right, we'll go ahead and get started. Open with prayer as they're preparing everything else. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God. We don't take it lightly, Lord, that we have the strength and mentality to be here, Lord, and that we have the freedom to be here in this house, to worship and celebrate this time of year our Savior, which was born. We thank you for your love that exceeds generations to generations and centuries to centuries, that is never ending. It's eternal. We thank you, Lord, for that love. We thank you for the sacrifice. We thank you for coming to this earth with the purpose of redeeming us, of offering us your salvation. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us regardless of who we are, and that despite all that we can be at times, your love sees the good in us, the best in us, what we sometimes can't see for ourselves, Lord. We thank you. Lord, I pray your blessings upon the services today, every facet of it, Lord. Let it be according to your will. Let those that walk through the door see, and those that are online hear and see the love of God. Not just religion, not just tradition, but Lord, the love of God, because only that can set us free. Father, I surrender myself to you, heart, mind, spirit, soul, everything that I am, I give to you. Let nothing come forth of me, but only what you have approved, Father. I surrender to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so today, if you want to give it a title, we're going to talk about the wait. The wait. That is a thing as a child of God that you will constantly be in. You'll be doing, and then you'll be waiting. And you're waiting for either the next promise, the next assignment, the next whatever God is going to do for you. He's going to take you through whatever you're going through. But in all that, the wait is what we do. And you will endure the wait for all your life, because we're always waiting for the fullness of God, which will happen once we are with him eternally. But the wait. And of course, I was going back to God had me reading what I lovingly call the Christmas story. It's the celebration of the birth of our Savior this time of year. And I went back to Luke chapter 2, and I'd been reading that story since November, and I couldn't figure out why God had me reading this, but so early, because traditionally we don't do these things until December, but he has pulled so much out of what I read, even more than what I read last year and the year before. It's always something new that I find. So the Word of God is alive and active. So when you don't read the Word of God, you are missing out on something great. I encourage you to do it every day. So let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And this happens after that beautiful night when our Savior came and the angels announced it and the shepherds came and worshiped and Mary and Joseph surrendered, and he was born in that quiet night, that holy night. And it says in verse 21, and when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And in verse 22 kind of goes down, now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, the purification for the period for the women for a son was 7 days of uncleanliness, and then the boy is circumcised on the 8th day, and then it's followed by 33 more days of purification for the woman who gave birth. That's a total of 40 days. So it had been 40 days according to tradition, and they were presenting Jesus And she was coming after her purification. And I want you to notice who met them in the temple. It says in verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just," meaning righteous, "and devout." Notice who he was. "Waiting for the consolation," and that simply means the comfort of Israel, but that is capitalized, so that is a godly thing. "And the Holy Spirit was upon him," and I want you to understand what he was waiting for. "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple," so that means he was led by the Spirit into the temple. "And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles." Remember, the Gentiles are the dogs, they're the outcasts, "and the glory of your people, Israel." So this man knew that he would not die until he had seen the Christ, the Messiah. What are you all dying for? What are you dying for? What in your life are you dying for? Well, I want to be the one that says, "I want to see the salvation, and then you can take me, Lord. I want to see your glory, and then you can take me, Lord. I want to be part of that." Let's see what he says. "And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to the mother, to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." He waited his whole life for that promise. He waited. How long do you wait? Let's talk about the waiting. Let's go to the second example, verse 36. "And now there was Anna, a prophetess, woman of God." Prophetess. The Bible does say women can be prophets. "The daughter of Phineal of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem." 84 years old. What kind of woman was she? The one that didn't depart from the temple. She was waiting. She was waiting. How do you wait? How do you wait? Biblically, now this is what I found online when I was researching. It says, biblically, redemption means being brought back or rescued from bondage, like sin and death, through a costly payment, which was Jesus' sacrifice. Restoring the lost relationship with God, often described as a purchase or a ransom by a redeemer. That is redemption. That is what Jesus did. He paid the price. He paid the price. Salvation, and sometimes we use these interchangeable, but it's a little different. Salvation is our part to accept. It is received. You must personally accept this gift, believe in Jesus, repent to experience salvation. So redemption makes you eligible to be saved, and that's what Jesus did for all of us. He died for all of us. We have the right to be redeemed if we so choose it, which is to be saved, which is actually salvation. Do you choose salvation? Yet God in his grace freely made us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. That's Romans 3 and 24 in the New Living. It's being justified. We were set free through Christ. But I want to go back to the waiting. You know, Israel waited 400 years. There was not a prophetic word from the end of the New Old Testament to John the Baptist who come crying in from the wilderness, repent. 400 years they waited. The nation of Israel waited 40 years in the desert. So let me tell you, how long have you waited? Compared to 40 or 400, nothing. Drop in the bucket. So let's not be discouraged. I want to talk to you about the waiting. Waiting on God, it's a lesson that we learn all the time. It's a normal part of your Christian walk. For God's timing and his will is not our own. So learning to wait can be just as important as waiting. The enemy takes this time to deceive us. He does. So be on guard when you're in the waiting, for the enemy is ever present. I was looking at Psalms 135-6. It says, I wait for the Lord, O my soul waits. And in his word, I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. The word wait in this verse means bind together, generally by twisting. So in our waiting, are you standing on God's word? Are you binding together with it? Are you twisting it into your mouth and your words into your mind? Are you securing everything by binding to God and his word? You know what? In my waiting, sometimes I catch myself complaining. And you know what I'm binding with then? What I'm agreeing with then? Because what there's life and death in the tongue, right? I'm not binding to God, am I? I'm not waiting in a godly manner. So to get twisted up in him, you should be in his word. You should be in his presence. You should come into agreement with the promises that are in that word. If I'm waiting and I don't see a way out, I can simply say, all things work to my good. That's a promise. That's a promise. All things work to my good. I may not see the good in the situation. I may not understand the good right now. I can't even fathom that it's going to be good. But I can sit there and stand on the word of God that he's working all things out for my good. That's a promise. So if you're doing anything other than standing on the word of God in your waiting time, then stop. Get twisted up with God. Get twisted up with his word. Wait in his word. Wait in his promises. And I'm telling you, when you do that, it'll be easier to bear, and you'll actually find pleasure in it. I hate to tell you that, but you will, because nobody likes to wait. We're a microwave drive-through society. We want it now. And the flesh is no better. It wants it now, and it wants it the way it wants it. But sometimes God says, my timing is not yet. Remember, Israel waited 400 years. What, 400 years? from one prophet to the next. They heard nothing for 400 years from God. Could you imagine that? I can't imagine. Generation after generation hoping. But that's what Simeon and Anna, that's where they come from. They were waiting. Waiting. And actually, he was waiting. He knew he wasn't going to die before he saw that. What are you dying for? Think about that. All right, let's go on. How is another way? Yeah, you continue doing as God tells you to do until he tells you otherwise, right? This is my assignment. I'm waiting. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Lamentations 3, 25 and 26. When we are waiting, we are to seek him. We are waiting on him. We are to seek him. That's what the verse says. We are to hope in him. And if you know, hope is, you know, out here somewhere. I'm hoping right here. I'm having faith that it's coming. But my words and my attitude and how I behave, that's all going to make a difference to how things progress for you. And then he says, wait quietly. Ooh. Ooh. Okay, girls, how many of y'all can wait quietly? So wait quietly is to keep the negative out of your mouth, out of your heart, out of your mind, and replace it with the promises of God. What do you put your hope in? Is it an expectation of the good which is coming? That the promise of God is true? Is it to speak it, to pray it, to believe it in our hearts despite all that we see? The quiet waiting is in putting down all the negative and unbelieving thoughts and not allow such words to proceed from your heart and into your mouth. This is a quieting of the mind and heart. Do you wait quietly? Do you wait in hope? Or do you allow the enemy to whisper his doubt and his fear? Allow that to be heard in your heart and then proceed from your mouth. How do you wait? Next thing he gave me was Psalms 37 and 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So the word rest there means to be dumb, silent, calm, quiet, rest. During our waiting time, we are to rest. Now, this rest is not a ceasing from doing what he asked us to do. It's a ceasing of the craziness that goes on in our head. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a type A personality. And if I'm not doing something, I think I am not worthy of anything. So when it comes to my quiet, my waiting time, resting for me is very difficult. You will meet my husband and he will tell you, she does more work before I get out of bed in the morning than I do all day long because I can't sit down. I found my value, unfortunately, in work and being worthy, and that is not appropriate in God, in the spiritual world. He desires you to rest, to rest. Now, I'm not talking about laying on your backside and, you know, that's not what I'm talking about. The body does need rest. This rest is not ceasing from time spent with him in his presence, in his word, in praise and worship, but it's a rest in your mind and your heart. Ceasing from fear or anxiety of what I should be doing or what lies ahead or what I should have done or didn't do. I find myself always needing to be doing something, always busy. This, unfortunately, is when I feel most valuable. But God doesn't want me to find value in anything but him and his will. Because of this twisted sense of value, I find myself unable to rest my body, my mind, and my soul. Fatigue sets in, and then weariness plagues me in every aspect of my life. And the enemy takes full advantage of my weakened condition. And I not only have to deal with my imbalanced belief, my physical and mental weariness, but the attack of the enemy at those times. I have found the enemy will devour you quickly if you are not aware of this path to destruction. So first learn you will have times of waiting, times in between services, time between assignments, time between waiting for him to come through for God. So don't allow your thoughts to tell you something is wrong. Just learn to rest in him, draw closer to him, and the enemy will not have an advantage over you. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11? He said, then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. What a blessed God we have. And my favorite is, of course, Isaiah 40. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Are you waiting? Are you weary? He says, wait on me and I will renew your strength. When I looked up that word renew, it means to sprout again. It means to grow up. It means to strike through. Are you waiting in his rest? He's got everything you need. The waiting is where our strength is. It's where we can be renewed. You may have just faced the biggest battle of your life, and you're stepping back because it's done. The victory is over. But you've had to walk through it because it was necessary for what you're doing. And God says, come here. Let me renew your strength. I want you to wait. Just wait on me. Just sit at my feet. Get in my word. Stay in my presence. That is where you find your strength. It's not in taking 20 naps or eating a whole pizza by yourself or listening to this or doing that or having someone do this or that. Where you're going to find the strength for the next thing that's coming is in him. If we allow the enemy to keep us doubting, keep us wearying, keep us fearful, even keeping us too busy doing what won't regenerate us, the waiting is not a time from ceasing of being a child of God in a daily life, but a time of resting with him at his feet in our continued journey. God promises in Philippians 1 that I am certain that God who began the work, good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished. On the day when Christ Jesus returns, you are going to be doing this until he returns or until you meet him again. So God woke me up Thursday night and he added this last portion to the service. There is another type of waiting that is very, very, very dangerous. It's eternally damning. It's for those who don't choose Jesus. And for those who have chose him but refuse to allow the renewing of their minds. They're just going through the motions. We understand the ones that are out there and need salvation, but it's the ones in here, as 2 Timothy 3 and 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. God woke me up. He took me. to Isaiah 65, 1 and 2, and it says, "And I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. But I have stretched out my hand all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts." Those of you who have accepted Jesus, but you're refusing to allow the Holy Spirit to convict you and to make have you walk through what is godly, what is holy, to give up your life for service to Him. He is standing with His hands out all day long. "I'm seeking you. I'm seeking you. I have a better way. I have all these promises that I can give you that are eternal." But you refuse it for the natural, for the temporal. That is not the kind of waiting that you want to have on your plate when you go to Him. Remember Matthew 7? "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, and we cast out demons in your names, and we performed many miracles in your names.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" That kind of waiting is not one that a child of God should ever do. One who professes Jesus, the one who just goes through the motions and they can't figure out why things aren't getting any better. You've got to be obedient. You've got to be obedient. Luke 2 Peter 3 and 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." What kind of waiting are you doing? Are you like Simeon and Anna, to the death? Till I die, I'm going to keep doing, I'm going to keep being devout, I'm going to keep being just, I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, I'm going to be caught in the temple all the days of my life because I'm keeping that relationship with my Lord and Savior. I'm going to do it with the positive thoughts, standing on the promises of God. That's the kind of waiting. That's the waiting in His presence where you find rest during your wait. Don't be caught being the one and Him standing there with His hands open saying, "Come to me, come to me." Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you that even in the waiting times, you never leave us nor forsake us, and that you're always pursuing us, always directing our paths, Lord. That you love us, and that you come in love, and you come to fulfill the will of the Father. And I pray those under the sound of my voice will accept you now, will be led by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, into all righteousness, into all holiness. And that we will be ready to meet you when you come. Because when you come again, it won't be the babe in the manger. It will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the enemy will be put under your foot. We love you and we thank you, Lord. Thank you for that quiet, holy night that brought our redemption so that we could have salvation. We give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.